evening and welcome to We the People. 16 people dead, more than 100 injured in Hyderabad. And yet one can't help thinking that once the headlines have faded and this slew of television debates is over, it will be back to business as usual. That is the troubling part about terror attacks in India. It often makes you pause to ask, is life really that cheap? Why is it that there's such an acute sense of deja vu? Why is it that we find ourselves in the exact same moment yet again? Questions being raised over how robust our security system is. Questions being raised over why intelligence cannot be shared between states more effectively. Questions being raised indeed about the effectiveness of the Home Minister and the government in tackling terrorism. And questions being asked again over whether politics and political bickering is actually stalling the fight against terror. These are some of the questions we'll be looking at on the program today. I want to start with Manishankar Iyer, if I may. Mr. Manishankar Iyer, you have seen not just the opposition, but even some of the allies like the Samajwadi Party looking at the Home Minister and saying this is a really casual attitude towards terrorism. It is bizarre for the people of this country to look at the fact that there's a detailed intelligence warning by the Delhi police, a warning given 48 hours before these blasts take place, and yet you have an event like takes place in Hyderabad, intelligence simply slipping through the cracks. Now, is this not going to create an absence of confidence as far as people are concerned in the Home Ministry and the government?
There's bound to be a certain diminution of confidence when such an incident takes place. But this is far from the first time that intelligence has come in but not been stitched together until after the incident. Perhaps the most renowned of these was the huge amount of evidence we got from about November of 1998 right through to the summer of 1999 that something was going to happen at Kargil. Hmm. And yet the Chief of Army Staff was sitting in Poland when the event took place. Hmm. So I think let's not exaggerate this. Of course it is important that intelligence be stitched together. And a failure to stitch intelligence together is certainly the fault of the government, whichever government happens to be in power. But it is not unique either to our particular government today or to the government of India alone. There are failures of intelligence which take place and allow terrorist attacks to take place, most notably 9/11 in the United States of America.
But there hasn't been a major terror attack in America since the 9/11 attacks.
That may be, but 9/11 did take place and they mobilized the whole world in the name of Islamic terrorism. That has entered our vocabulary shamefully. And we find that the minute there is a terrorist attack, the first thing you do is pick up every Muslim boy that you can find and bung him into jail. Is this the way to attack it? Let's please put it in perspective. Terrorists have to be caught, of whatever religion. And there is no monopoly that one religious community has over terrorism. And therefore, what we are doing is the wrong way of going about it.
Okay.
I think it's time our entire country got awakened to the communal way in which the terrorist problem is being attacked. I think that is the main issue. And I was a bit sorry that you didn't mention it among the questions you propose to ask.
No, actually, that is something we're going to look at. And in fact, just last week on this very show, and Chandan Mitra, you were there on this show, we actually had a very moving illustration of a young boy from Hyderabad, as it turned out, picked up, acquitted in the Makkah Masjid blast, and to hear him was searing. And that is certainly something we're going to be looking at on the program. And I will come to it, but Chandan, I want to start by asking you what we saw in Parliament. Now, political bickering, Parliament being disrupted, this kind of tutu meme, is this really going to create confidence?
No, I don't think there was any significant bickering in Parliament. The Home Minister was supposed to make a statement.
Yeah.
He came, he made the statement. However, actually there was some procedural issues, which is why things got held up for a while. But I think in the end, the Home Minister made his statement. He made the statement in Lok Sabha, he made the statement in Rajya Sabha. We were objecting to the fact that the Home Minister had virtually copied the report from television. We said, you see, you gave us nothing new. Why did you have to go all the way to Hyderabad to give us this report? Hmm. You have indicated nothing more than what we already know.
But maybe the government knew nothing more, because one of the things that always intrigues me as a journalist is that we never seem to have enough intelligence to stop a terror attack, Chandan. But the moment it happens, we have a bizarre level of detail about who suddenly was responsible for it, which frankly all of us are now becoming increasingly cynical about believing.
No, I think you see the, yes, there are obviously intelligence is a factor, and I don't think that our intelligence agencies and the police have discharged themselves very well. But I think you see this constantly blaming the police after every attack, I don't think that is very fair either.
Is it fair to blame every home minister after the attack?
Oh yes, of course. Home minister has to take the moral responsibility wherever it may happen. And if things are not getting okay after so many attacks, after 26/11 and subsequent attacks, Pune, not a single person arrested to date. Now, in this scenario, and we had a procession of home ministers, everybody promising they are going to set things right, and things are not set right. Hyderabad has proved once again that terrorists will strike at will. And they can do it anytime they want to.
Mani, quick response on the issue of the Home Minister, and then I'll go around the panel. Isn't it true that the Home Minister's appointment, save for what happened after the Mumbai attacks, is regarded as some sort of a political appointment, rather than who's the best person, man or woman, for the job to head a very complex security system? Because from Shivraj Patil to Sushil Kumar Shinde to Mr. Chidambaram in the middle, you've had all kinds of controversies and the reasons for appointing home ministers. For example, Sushil Kumar Shinde being described as a Gandhi loyalist or a Dalit leader. These are not the reasons on which you choose a home minister.
Well, I happen to personally know Sushil Kumar Shinde, and I immensely admire somebody who can begin his life as a sub-inspector.
Absolutely.
That does not qualify him to be the home minister of the country.
That may be Chandan's view. I certainly think the Home Minister their government had was a dreadful person because he was so totally communal and responsible for the Rath Yatra.
Absurd.
I don't want us to, I'm answering your question. And my answer is that I do not regard Sushil Kumar Shinde as some kind of an incompetent who has just been brought in because he swears fealty to the Gandhi family.
Okay, let's come
I think
in on
this
the issues
is a
now.
Very unfair question.
No, but he must talk.
And I think I should be given the opportunity of finishing just that one sentence which I wanted to bring. That I think it's immensely commendable that a man who began his life as a sub-inspector, put on intelligence duty to attend Congress meetings, should rise to become the chief minister of Maharashtra, the governor of Andhra Pradesh, and only then become the Home Minister of India. You can't suddenly be discovering.
Okay, I want to move on to the issue. Chandan, I know you have an issue with how the previous Home Minister was.
No, he cannot go other ministers communal.
Okay, so he
himself is the most communal person
I want to
on this show.
Move to
and
the issue.
He has no right to call other people.
Moving to the issues, Jay. This is what actually happens every time Parliament gets together to debate terrorism. But one of the things that the Congress is now saying, looking around and turning at parties like yourselves, saying it to the BJP, is that, hang on, we proposed the creation of the NCTC. We said it is time to learn from other countries and have a nodal body, an anti-terror nodal body, national body, where intelligence will be coordinated, where these kind of slips will not happen. Do you regret, or does your party regret, not having supported the NCTC, being one of the dozen chief ministers who opposed it?
Barkha, the NCTC issue has been badly misreported, and I'm sad to see that this perception still persists, that we didn't support it. So let me clarify the facts, and let me, not just for this studio audience, but for everybody watching your show today, make it very clear that we support the NCTC
with one caveat.
The NCTC, as it was proposed, models itself on the agencies that are prevalent in countries like Pakistan, which are not accountable to Parliament, which can act on their own without any kind of accountability. We want our NCTC to be modeled on the counter-terrorism agency of the US and the UK, which are accountable to their parliament, and when they act, they have to involve the local agencies concerned. That is the only change that we want.
But that amendment was proposed. The amendment was proposed that the power to arrest
will
be kept with the states.
We agreed. Listen, when we made this point, initially the response that the country got was this, that we are opposing the NCTC. It wasn't 12, it was 15 chief ministers, including UPA chief ministers.
Yes.
After the whole debate raged on for a few weeks, when we kept insisting, we want an NCTC, we want it quickly, we just don't want an unaccountable agency like the ISI of Pakistan or the KGB of Russia. We want something that exists on the model of what happens in the UK and the US, which are accountable to their parliament and have very successfully prevented attacks after their initial
so
terror
attack.
So today,
do you believe that it is time to revisit the stalled NCTC
let me put
with answerability to Parliament?
Barkha, let me make it very clear. The answer is yes, And after this debate, the government actually came out some months ago and said it finally agrees to this proposal. That was some months ago, and it still hasn't implemented it. It must be done forthwith.
G. Parthasarathy, what's the big message? Because to the cynics, and I think that's so many citizens, you know, societies get brutalized and they get numbed by constant attacks. And that's a little bit of what's happening to us. If you have to rack your brains, it's a haze. You suddenly remember this happened at the Delhi High Court. You suddenly remember this happened in Pune. Then you remember it happened at the German bakery. Then you remember that it had happened three times. This is the third time it's happened in Hyderabad in recent memory. There's, of course, Mumbai, and not just 2611. There's the Zaveri Bazaar blast and so on. What's happening? Is it that we lack the stomach to fight? Is it that we lack a consensus? Is it that we just do not value life in this country?
Barkha, let me answer your first point you made, that the Americans have not had a single terrorist attack after 9/11. Don't forget there are two oceans which separate them from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
The Atlantic on the east and the Pacific on the west. We don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
We have porous borders. We have the epicenter of global terrorism to our west, in the Pakistan-Afghanistan badlands. The Chinese fiddle around with our northeastern groups in Kachin State in Myanmar, where I've been ambassador, and keep the pot boiling in our northeast. So we live under more difficult circumstances, and therefore we shouldn't equate ourselves. Having said that, let me tell you, I have the highest regard for our intelligence bureau, because, you know, something gets across, but in the process they have already preempted 30 other incidents which could have happened, but they can't advertise.
So you don't think this is an example of carelessness at some level?
It is a complex problem.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you the external dimensions. The internal dimensions, as far as I see it, I'm not in politics. I think every politician, whatever his ideology, is as committed to the welfare of our people. He gets elected, he comes by a fair election, and I don't think we should cast aspersions on political parties or do this. But I think very seriously, and the other thing is, we can't go the American way. They spent $1 trillion. We don't have that sort of money. And anyone with a beard, is whether he's Sikh or Muslim, is suspected and hauled up. Yes, we do make mistakes. The police often gets into a hurry. But let me tell you two things. In my view, two reforms are essential. I think our police forces, and Kiran is here, she'll bear me out on this, are completely demoralized by the way they are interfered with. The Supreme Court has passed a judgment on Prakash Singh's petition and what needs to be done on political reform. No state, not even the central government in the Union Territory, has implemented it, because the politicians want to keep the coercive machinery in their hand and not let it function. Second, when 162 members of parliament are faced with criminal charges, what is the example we are setting? So I think we need serious look at getting our house in order. One more thing on intelligence coordination. What Jay says is right. I don't think you should give intelligence agencies the powers to arrest or to order arrest. That makes you a totalitarian state. It doesn't happen in any democracy. Having said that, I am sure that after this, our politicians will be able to work out a consensus. There were, as Jay says, and I had occasionally look at it, and also a National Intelligence Board for coordinating. Right now, every intelligence organization hangs on to its
their
information.
Own, yeah.
Now, unless you have a coordinating body which can look at everything from rail tickets to financial flows, and then put these together, you're not going to.
So that coordinating body. So we need the NCTC.
It's also that is also being looked at and will come through. The only thing is, our system moves slow. Having said that, given the way our neighborhood is going, I don't see this ending soon. But I don't think, and we should allow this to come in the way of communal harmony and talk of Hindu terrorists and Muslim terrorists. A terrorist is a terrorist.
Okay.
He has no religion.
I just want to get the perspective of two police officers now. Swaranjit Sen, you have you're here from Hyderabad today, and the police there has come under a lot of scrutiny. First, there were questions raised over whether the intelligence that was declared by the Delhi police was acted on. Now you have the Hyderabad cops saying that actually we scanned that area 400 times, 400 times, and this still happened. That's one. Two, we have had today, and I ask this because Manish Shankaraya raised it in the beginning, and it's important to this debate. You have had today six boys who were acquitted, wrongly arrested in Makkah Masjid, acquitted, They have been not arrested today, but they have been picked up for questioning. I'm not saying they're in detention, but they were picked up for questioning despite the fact that Andhra Pradesh was the first state to actually say these boys who were wrongly arrested should be given compensation. Yes. Now, the impression it creates is at the very least of a panicked police under pressure to deliver results, at the very worst of a biased police. What's going wrong? Is it about independence from politicians or is it about something deeper?
No, I think the Mecca Masjid case is one-off case. And as far as I know, Hyderabad police is very impartial. We don't have any hang-ups against any community.
But yet those boys were questioned again today.
Sometimes it happens. Yes. You know, it's not as if the police wanted to victimize any particular group of people or community. They went wrong and they admitted. I think we should all appreciate the fact that police has admitted where they've gone wrong instead of just pushing their line when it's wrong. So I think that's not a good case to really quote.
So what do you think has gone wrong? Why is an area scanned 400 times and it's 400 times? So you can't even say that warning was ignored as we initially thought.
Yeah, but that you have to see that area to realize what it's all about. There's so much floating population.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite a khichdi there.
Yeah.
And you can't do much. Now the police did share this information with the shopkeepers and everyone. But what do you do further? You know, there's public which comes and goes. How many people will you educate? You don't have the support of any kind of a civil society system to tell something and advise
the people. So a soft target, a crowded area, yeah, a country is porous.
There's one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, they try to keep the hawkers away. Now hawkers come there and then there's total indiscipline. And when they try to drive the hawkers away, it's the local people who put pressure on them. The local politicians, the petty politicians. So police is always under pressure. In this country, sorry to say, I don't think compared to any other country, the police is always under pressure. Either pressure politically or from the people or from, you know, various other things.
So
you're saying
the police is not able to take the decisions. It's being pulled in 10 different directions. Kiran Bedi, you have said again and again, police reform is at the heart of this debate. And before I ask all three politicians to comment on that, what's stopping that reform?
Stopping that reform? I think policing is the most difficult job to do today.
Yeah.
In fact, it's totally being interfered with. It's not being allowed to deliver. I can tell you the Indian police service officers left on their own with accountability can deliver.
Who should they be accountable to?
They should be accountable to the law. But there should be a security commission, which the police reform said, which includes the leader of opposition. Let them be accountable to the law. And if any police officer violates the law, he should be imprisoned and be out of the service. But he should be allowed to work. I can tell you, at DGP's conference is like it's not tackling issues. They don't speak out. They don't open up. These are the challenges. They must tell them, allow us to work. The police is not being allowed to work today. They know the answers. They know the problems. They have the information. But it's being interfered at every stage. We have very capable officers left on their own. Make them fully accountable.
But do you think that explains what's happened this time? How does it link to the terror debate?
Listen, if you're looking at terror, then Varkha, you don't have a command and control structure here. Who is responsible? Do you want to say every time Home Minister responsible for an anti-terrorist act? I think where does the buck stop? It's not known. Do you have an anti-terror policy?
Yeah.
Do you have accountability? Or should it stop at Chief CM? Should it stop at HM? Should it stop at DGP? Or should it stop at... Where is the anti-terror policy? Where is the detection policy, prevention policy, deterrence policy? Where is it?
I think those are great questions. Our policy is simply reactive. And I want to quickly ask all three politicians on that and then we'll come to Shahid. Manishankar Iyer, is that the problem? There's ex post facto panic and then nothing changes. And in part, nothing changes because there is no political consensus. There is no political consensus, so there is no policy. And you just do not know who is accountable.
I agree with every single syllable, comma, and semicolon of Kiran.
So why has nothing changed?
Well, there are sometimes pressures that go along with a democracy. I think these are issues that really should be taken up, debated, argued in parliament in a non-partisan fashion, but recognizing that, as was said a little while ago, every single state government of whatever hue is not willing And that includes, as somebody pointed out, the UTs, which are under the Home Ministry directly, are not willing to accept this. And it is necessary, there's no alternative to that in a democracy, to focus on this issue, to not allow ourselves to be distracted by sensationalism, and to say that this is the kind of issue where all the Home Ministers of India should be locked up until they've come to an agreement, and then if their agreement is not okay, to lock them up separately. But it is for all the Home Ministers of India to get together and recognize that we've got police reforms, police commission reforms on the agenda for 25 years and more.
So who's accountable for that, Chandan and Jay? Let's start with you. Why is it that every terror strike sees this debate? It sees you all getting very volatile about what you perceive to be the incompetence of a government or an individual as Home Minister. But are you all not collectively responsible
for
the safety of this country, for the safety of its citizens?
Of course we are. But I think you see successive governments
yes.
have not really taken the hard decisions that needed to be taken. Now we have Mr. Swaranjit Sen sitting here.
Yeah.
And the kind of measures he introduced in Andhra
yeah.
to hound the Maoists virtually out of the state. And he had a certain backing. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolute independence I had of action.
Yes, that is the key.
Total support from the chief minister.
Sometimes this policy, more organization and all this is not material. You have to fight a menace. You have to fight it hands on and head on. I mean, that is the only way terror can really be resolved. Terrorism and separatism. We saw that happening in Punjab. We have seen how the Maoists have been hounded and driven out.
But while not arresting the wrong people.
Sorry?
While simultaneously retaining the difference between a state and a terrorist and not targeting innocent people. I mean, we have to have that in conjunction in a democracy.
I must say, I know this is very politically incorrect, but some collateral damage happens in a fight against terror. And I'm sorry this happens, but when it happens, if it's
what does that mean? Does that mean that somebody should be arrested because they're Muslim?
No, because
they have a political opinion that is regarded as anti-national.
That is not the case. You see, even the Americans make mistakes, the British make mistakes.
Yes.
Even the most sophisticated intelligence agencies make mistakes. The Australians make mistakes. But I think we should not overemphasize that point. Let us not demoralize the police. Every time one incident happens, and even if it is wrong, then we should not again and again try to blame
the police demoralized?
In this matter.
I don't think the police is really demoralized, because we are all in it. We've got to fight it. We know it. And we also know that the only way to survive as a police force is to do our best. And I think the police will continue to do its best. Whether there is political interference or not, they will continue to do.
You think the police is demoralized, Kiran?
It is weakened hugely. It's weakened. Its back is broken. It's a broken vertebrae that it works.
I don't subscribe to that view.
It delivers despite that. It's all crisis management. It's not strategic management. And crisis is always by weakened force.
Jay Panda, what about the state home ministers, every state's home minister, saying we will liberate our police from political control?
You know,
why haven't we seen statesmanship from any political party on the issue of terrorism?
That's not true, actually. Some have indicated that they are willing to go along with police reform, but there has to be a national consensus. One state can't do it by itself. So there have been indications from a few states, including mine, by the way. But really, the initiative has to be pushed at the national level to have police reforms. But unfortunately, it is true that a large number of elected politicians want to hang on to that power and the privilege and the pelf. And we know, not just with terrorism, that there's a terrible shortage of policemen and women.
Yeah.
We know the ratio of police to population is very low. We've just, with
and
you
many
earlier
of them
this
are
week,
being used for VIP security,
VIP. I was
by
just
going
to say that we need to drastically change the VIP culture and only assign protection where there is a serious threat instead of uniformly. But also, terror can't be fought just by the normal policeman. There has to be other resources, other things that have to be put forward. And that is why the discussion about NCTC and other issues.
Shahid Siddiqui, is politics...
One minute.
Yeah. Sorry,
I have great respect for you, Jay. But as far as the implementation of the police reforms judgment of Supreme Court, Mr. Prakash Singh's judgment of 2006, the onus is entirely on the state. Any state can implement it absolutely on its own, and they haven't implemented in letter and spirit.
So you do not need the center to do
it? No, you can do it yourself.
So that's something I want to come back to you, Jay, on. But Shahid Siddiqui, I think a lot of us worry that political rhetoric at times and genuine political or ideological differences have actually prevented a consensus. Some say that there is too much political correctness of acknowledging homegrown terrorism. Others say that there is a viciousness or a subterranean bias in the way the state responds to some of its citizens.
Both. There is lack of professionalism both in the police and the intelligence network we have. We are working with a police system which is colonial, which is of 18th century in 21st century. It has not been given the resources, it has not been given a clear-cut policy. That is one. Second, let's face it, it may not be liked by many people here, but I believe that what I am saying is correct, that there is definitely lack of training and there is a gender bias, there is a communal bias, there is a caste bias, there is a regional bias everywhere, including the police. I mean, it's in the judges, it's in the politicians, but I mean, the police forces, and especially in the intelligence, there have been biases. And those biases, collateral damage is all right. But if it is deliberate, if it is done deliberately, then it is very serious. In the case of Maligaon, when the blast took place, I went and met the Chief Minister of Maharashtra. All the police officers were there, and we said that many innocent boys are being roped in and they are being offered bribes to admit that they were Lashkar-e-Tayyaba or Simi agents. And Chief Minister agreed with us that if innocents are caught, then the real culprits will get away. And that's exactly what happened in Maligaon. That's exactly what happened in Hyderabad, because we prejudge everything. The media, and media is equally responsible. We prejudge every incident, and when this kind of blast takes place, we first reach a conclusion and then look for.
Let me get Partha in there. Mr. Partha Sarathy, I'll come to you. Just want to get Partha in. Mr. Partha Sarathy, beyond the politics and the rhetoric, are we in denial about homegrown terrorism? Every time there's a blast, the first name you hear, usually, the first name you hear is the Indian Mujahideen. In several of these blasts, I'm sorry to be cynical, though that name was taken, it was found to not be the case. But that does not take away from the fact that the Indian Mujahideen is real, it's operational, and it is a genuine threat. Now, does a certain amount of ideological division prevent us from genuinely assessing how serious is the threat of homegrown terror? And I say this keeping both things in mind, that innocents are sometimes picked up and sometimes we don't call a spade a spade.
Look, there are disgruntled people in our country, disaffected people due to our own developments. They look outwards and they find good patrons right across the border, and many of them are operating out of Karachi, like the Bhatkals are presently located there. What I find wrong about our entire investigative process is, firstly, I think we should bar politicians from going to a crime scene.
At all?
Yes. At all.
Absolutely. You should, by the way, also bar the media. Where's the yellow ribbon?
Right.
The other point is media pressure
forces the politicians to be seen
visible.
To be delivering, forces the police. I do not, this business of leaking to the media already,
that you know who's done it,
without concrete evidence that the IM is responsible or somebody else is responsible, I think this is wrong. If you go to the UK, they've arrested three people of Pakistani origin, whom they had kept a tab on for 6 months. The thing came to pass and it became public only when these three guys were produced before a magistrate. Now, I think our media also, and I must say this, should learn that investigation and government processes take time. And I'm afraid that successive governments have rushed to these conclusions to be seen to be delivering results. Now, I'm reasonably certain that there are sort of indicators as to who was responsible. But I don't think...
Now is the time to say that.
Now is the time to say it.
So
especially in a communally sensitive place like
Now this
Hyderabad.
Is very important, because today, for example, we've had a letter, nobody knows it's genuine, Chandan sent to the state BJP president in Andhra Pradesh, warning them, claiming to be on behalf of the Lashkar-e-Taiba. Now, this is a sensitive piece of information. Nobody quite knows what to do with it, because you don't know if the letter is genuine, you don't know if the letter is fake. Yet when you as the opposition, and I hold no brief for the government, I think there are serious issues of competence and accountability to be addressed here. But to pick up on Partha's point, that one is the media driving for results. Two, it's also the opposition saying, you're casual, you're incompetent, you're this, you're that. Does that multiply the potential for people declaring the wrong person or a person prematurely to be guilty?
Yeah. Well, you see, I don't certainly want to, I think this matter yeah. has certainly to be does, seen can outside, have an effect. Yeah. outside politics, because yeah. we should not politicize these issues. But let me tell you, some genuine differences of opinion.
And ideology.
About, yeah. Not more than ideology. On how this should be tackled. What kind of policy should be put in place. I think some genuine differences are admissible. Like what Jay was explaining, the objections to NCTC. Without discussing with the states, if some minister in his megalomania tries to impose this kind of a rule and issues a circular, even prior to any discussion, you're bound to have opposition.
You think the NCTC was an example, the way it was pushed through was an example of megalomania?
Yes, it was an example of megalomania. There was nothing wrong with the idea. But you killed the idea.
It's the way it was done.
Money, you killed the idea by...
Mani and Jay, you want to come in there? One line from Partha. Yeah.
You see, also... things get complicated within government.
Yeah.
They were talking of a national grid to coordinate intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
You haven't been able to set it up.
Because the UPA couldn't agree on it.
Each ministry wants its turf.
Yeah.
So I think, I do see a glimmer of hope that these things are coming through. In India, it takes longer.
Yeah.
But they are coming through. I don't think we should be casting aspersions on anybody being communal or non-communal or politically incorrect or not. But that's the way the
politics functions.
If it does not come now, you'll have to wait for the next blast. Because this was being talked about since Mumbai
that's
blast.
Right. Yeah. If it doesn't come now,
then you'll have to wait for another blast.
Jay and Mani?
You're talking about the media's role and parliament's role. The fact is, we, particularly in the opposition, have to be very careful that we are not seen as politicizing the issue. So I'm not going to make any personal comments about the Home Minister. But just like it is the media's role, it is also Parliament's role to hold government accountable.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Without making any personal allegations, it is Parliament's role to hold up certain standards and ask whether the government has met those standards collectively. Forget about any individual minister's competence or not. And the fact is, when the government itself, on the NCTC issue, when the government itself months ago said, all right, we agree to the state's suggestions, we are now going to implement it.
Yeah.
Then 3 months or 4 months go by and they don't implement
it. And nothing has happened.
And they don't implement the steps which are entirely internal to the government, have nothing to do with the opposition or coalition or anybody else.
Yeah.
Then it is a legitimate question to ask whether you are running things competently or not.
Mani, quickly, and then I want to hear from two victims who have actually experienced terrorism. They've been impacted by it. And they are actually illustrations that terrorism knows no religion. It impacts all communities, all classes with the same ferocity. But if you want to come in on the fact that they forget consensus across parties, there's no consensus within the UPA. There is no consensus on not on Maoism, not on terrorism, not on the Nat Grid, not on NCTC.
Which is as it should be in a democracy.
Why?
Because in a democracy,
you expect governments to be able to take decisions.
In a democracy, the fact of an argument doesn't prevent you from taking a decision. And there is a tremendous contrast in the backgrounds of the two home ministers who have succeeded each other. So the implication that was being made in your very first question, that there was something about Mr. Shinde's background, his education, his articulation.
That was not my implication at all.
Let me finish. Sometimes the audience should be permitted to attack the anchor. The anchor is not the representative of God.
You attack me all the time, but go ahead.
I heard your question.
Go ahead.
And to my mind, there was a clear implication there that the man was there only because he's a Gandhi loyalist, otherwise he's incompetent. I'm answering that. We had two home ministers in succession who are the diametric opposite of each other in terms of background, education, etc. And I completely agree with Jay that when the NCTC decision or the suggestion was going to be made, perhaps much greater consultation should have taken place with state governments in full recognition of the fact that law and order, as well as public order, are clearly stated in the Constitution to be state subjects. So you come up with a suggestion,
You may find that it's got infirmities in it. You conduct a process of consultation and you come to conclusions, and you don't need to take a very long time over that. You come to conclusions and you should move ahead. And I think that is the direction in which the system should be taken. But please remember also, that was a period when Parliament was being endlessly disrupted. Thank God things are beginning to function more normally now. But we need all our institutions, including Parliament, to be functioning properly.
Now, I want to first bring in Sumit here. Now, Sumit, you've had two brushes with terrorism. First, in Mumbai, you had a close shave.
Yeah.
You were right outside VT station.
I came on We the People show also on first.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the audience.
And then the German bakery blast in Pune takes place.
Yeah.
You see your friends die. And you suffer injuries yourself.
Right.
I don't want you to relive it. I know it's painful. But I guess that day is never going to go away from your mind. What injuries did you suffer? I know one of your friends who died that day. It's his birthday today. And it's a tough day. Rajiv's birthday. Yeah. Your thoughts, Sumit?
Yeah, it's Rajiv's birthday today. So, 13 Feb 2010. It's been over 3 years since that incident happened. And I don't think... not a day has passed since then when I've not thought about it. Maybe God, I've got scars on my body to keep on reminding me about those incidents. I had 35% burn. I had multiple splinters. I still have splinters in my left leg. I still have the sound in my ear, which is there constantly 24/7, 365 days a year. Even right now I'm talking to you, that sound is there in my left ear. So I was in hospital for over 2 months, and it's tough. But, you know, coming back to a city like Bombay, and you have to move on. I was just talking to Rajiv's mother while coming to NDTV. Probably she is watching it right now. And she's in Allahabad with uncle because of Rajiv. They've gone to take the dip. It's very difficult. And
when you hear the politicians debate this, what would you
like
to say?
I would like to share an incident when Mr. Partha started talking about the politicians being barred. When we were in ICU on 13th Feb and 14th, you know, there was this immediate rush of all the politicians trying to come there and showing that we are there for the victims. There was time for dogs which were sent inside ICU.
Yeah.
And to probably sanitize, maybe it's part of the SOP, I don't know. And then there were political from a very major party, I don't want to name anyone here, who came there, checked on everyone. They went down and five of them standing. My brother, who watched me on NDTV only on that day because my images were flashed on 13th evening. And within the moment they stepped out of ICU, they were cracking jokes and they were giving each other a high five. So that's the kind of sensitivity. It's very easy to come and talk show and talk about something that you want to do something. But you go back to the parliament, how many times we actually devote on arguing about something like that.
You'd like to see a special session being called, for example, to debate terrorism?
Definitely. Definitely. Because half the time, parliamentarians will be more bothered about increasing their salaries and not doing anything.
Ajay, tell me, if these politicians hadn't come to meet you, they might say that there would have been the opposite criticism. Ki koi milne hi nahi aaya, nobody cares. Sumit, what would you say about that? Go ahead.
You're asking me?
Yeah. If they hadn't come to meet you, would you have felt abandoned?
Well, I was dying there, so for me, my friends and family were there. It's good to see all the major political parties. Home Minister also paid the visit on 13th only. Mr. P. Chandran was Home Minister at that point of time. And it's good to see. But what I wanted to highlight is the fact of insensitiveness which is there in the political class.
Yeah.
My brother had a huge argument with all those politicians. And he was quite scared also, probably because everybody had a jet plus security at that point of time. You'll not believe when they were leaving, what did the bodyguard told me? He's like, sir, bahut achha kiya, apne ye aise hi hain, aise deserve karte hain. This is a statement of their jet plus security guard.
So it's being seen as a photo op. I think that's the problem.
It's a photo op.
Partha, is
it's
that too cynical?
It's a photo op, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I wanted to point out that I'm not defending this. I think it's terrible when politicians go for photo ops.
Yeah.
But you know, when there are no photo ops, when constituents die in a road accident and politicians go to the hospital, there are no photo ops then because those are minor incidents relative to the terrorist incidents. But even then, you have differentiation. You have some politicians that march in with their security right into the ICU and disrupt the proceedings.
Yes.
And then there are those that are a little more sensitive and they try to help the family in any manner they can without either disturbing the accident scene or without disturbing the medical process that help. So, but you're quite right. If politicians don't go, but with sensitivity, the opposite argument would be made.
But I think it underlines the level of cynicism, that this is not adding to the feeling of safety among people. Now, we heard from Sumit. I have here with me Rahim Bhai. Rahim Bhai, you have come from Hyderabad. Yes. And Gokul Chat blast when it happened in that city. Like we said, this is now... ये हैदराबाद ने काफी ऐसे ब्लास्ट देखे हैं. गोकुल चाट जब हादसा हुआ था उसमें आपकी एक आंख चली गई और अब आप ठीक तरह से देख नहीं पाते हैं. एंड रहीम भाई स्टेप्ड आउट ऑफ एन ऑटो टू बाय एन आइसक्रीम फॉर हिज डॉटर. आप आइसक्रीम लेने गए थे अपनी बेटी के लिए, धमाका हुआ और आपकी जिंदगी बदल गई.
जी,
आप प्रिंटिंग का काम करते थे.
जी, कमर्शियल पेंटर हूं.
और आप कर पाते हैं?
अब नहीं कर रहा हूँ, मैं घर में बैठ के रह रहा हूँ.
क्योंकि आंख मतलब आईसाइट चली गई, देख नहीं पाते थे.
मैं हैदराबाद बोल के बोलूँ या हैदराबाद बोल के बोलूँ, मेरे को समझ में नहीं आ रहा.
हैदराबाद या हैदराबाद
बॉम्ब, ये चेन्नई का नाम बदल दिया ना, इससे पहले मद्रास रहा ना, अब इसको हैदराबाद को भी बम बोल के लगा दे तो अच्छा रहता ना, वो बाद निकाल लेंगे. मुंबई को मुंबई बोल के लगा है. आज बाहर निकलना बोले तो पब्लिक में इतना डर हो रहा है, अगर वही लीडर्स आए तो उन लोग को सिक्योरिटी होना.
आज प्राइम मिनिस्टर गए, आज ऐसे आज प्राइम मिनिस्टर
आज 5-10 किलोमीटर से सिक्योरिटी है, 10 किलोमीटर तक आप वोट दला रहे हैं. मेरे पीछे कितने वोट आए, मेरे बहनों के है, मेरे बहनें बच्चों के है, मेरे भाइयों के है, उन लोग बच्चों के है, मेरे चिच्चा लोग हैं, और है ऐसे एक आदमी को आप गवर्नमेंट इतने साल हुआ, 6 साल हो रहा है ये सिलसिला होके, और लुम्बिनी पार्क में होती है यही.
तो आप कह रहे हैं कि जैसे नेता लोग को इतना लंबा सिक्योरिटी, आम आदमी का क्या होगा?
वही पूछ रहा हूँ मैं, गवर्नमेंट को पूछ रहा हूँ मैं, उन लोग अच्छे काम कर रहे ना, सिक्योरिटी इतनी क्यों लगा रहे? ये पब्लिक को नहीं है सिक्योरिटी. अब आज मैं पेपर में देखा, परसों शिंदे साहब आए, उन्होंने 2 दिन पहले टारगेट में हैदराबाद है बोल के बोले, वो स्क्रोल देखा मैं टीवी में, वो भी नजदीक से देखा, मेरे को तो ये आंख नहीं दिखता, ये आंख भी निकाल के बता रहा हूँ. देखो आप, ये 3 बार दलाया मैं.
नहीं,
इसमें भी टुकड़े निकले, लोहे के टुकड़े 3 काले दीदे में निकले. और एक बात बोल रहा हूँ मैडम, मैं सुनिए आप, मैं गवर्नमेंट को बोल रहा हूँ, मैं किसको भी नहीं बोल रहा हूँ. इन लोग इतना सीकर, ये लुम्बिनी पार्क हो गया, ये इन लोग टारगेट 6-7 के बीच में लगा रहे. अब ये मालूम हो के भी शिंदे साहब को 2 दिन पहले ही टारगेट में हैदराबाद बोल,
आप क्या पूछना चाहते हैं सरकार से? आपको इतना दर्द हुआ, आपको हमें भी दर्द हो रहा है.
मैं सबको पूछना चाह रहा हूँ, मेरे को अकेले के वास्ते नहीं, सब लोग को देना गवर्नमेंट.
जी, It's painful and yet it's brave, because people keep going on with their lives and they have these questions. I am going to take a quick break. It's been disturbing to hear both of these accounts. When we come back, some questions from the audience and suggestions. I want my panel in their last comments to make suggestions. A suggestion for change, so that people don't walk away feeling that nothing has changed. Coming back in a minute. On We the People, before we take final comments from our panel on their suggestions for change, let's take a few quick questions from the audience. Yes.
Sure. My question is about intelligence, because there's so much confusion about intelligence is generated. Even about this blast, there was information that there was some information, but it wasn't specifics. So where does the buck stop at intelligence? How is it cascaded eventually?
Okay. I'm going to take one more question, then maybe Kiran can take that. Yeah.
It's to all those who are opposing NCTC, that is the so-called federal structure more important than the 16 people killed in Dilkushnagar? And is the opposition only opposing this NCTC just for the sake because it is opposition?
So Kiran for the first and Jay for the second, very quickly, we're winding down on the show, on how intelligence should be coordinated. Why is there a post-mortem every time of how intelligence is coordinated?
You need a daily command and control message to the the command and control from Delhi once NCTC is set up.
Yeah.
It should connect with the DGPs on a daily basis, take a feed in and a feed out.
Yeah.
That system must be practiced daily. After that, the accountability is set up on the DGP because you're feeding him.
Jay, take the NCTC argument forward as a suggestion for change.
I believe I answered it, but let me reiterate.
No, so today you believe that there should be a parliament review of the NCTC and it's time to get it on board as long as it's accountable to parliament?
You know, the problem that you must understand is we are not opposing the NCTC. We want the NCTC to be modeled on the US NCTC or the UK's NCTC, which is accountable to their parliament. You do not want our country to be like Pakistan, which has an ISI, which is totally devoid of any control, any accountability. We want NCTC, but we do not
want... So do you want the intelligence agencies also to be accountable to parliament as the answer to the US Congress, for example?
Ideally, they ought to be, but certainly an anti-terror organization which has the ability to arrest or kill citizens ought to be accountable. And you see, in the US and the UK, which is where they are accountable to their elected bodies, they've never allowed terror to be repeated.
Okay, I'm going to take a question.
I want to ask the UPA government directly, like when you are gathering your whole power to implement the FDI in retail, why can't you gather your power for the genuine reasons like police reform and NCTC policies?
Manisha Karayar, energy expended on FDI and retail, massive rallies, massive energy, not the same for police reforms, not the same for anti-terror reforms?
I wish he'd join the Congress party because I agree with him.
Well, that ends that debate because... Okay, one second. Let's take a question here.
Okay, so we talked about the role of media, and this is to anybody who would want to take the question. The media sort of also played a role in, you know, portraying stereotypical images about certain communities being associated with terrorism and creating those kinds of stereotypes. So, say, the moment a blast takes place, there's name dropping going on about, say, a particular fundamental organization being involved or without substantial proof.
Yeah.
So the media.
Shahid, as a politician and a journalist, do you want to take that? What does the media do? The media, the journalists are talking to their sources. You have agencies at that time saying, sources say the scanner is on the Indian Mujahideen. I mean, that's usually how it works,
see,
right?
Earlier, we journalists used to use this word alleged. Now, that is not there in the dictionary of any of the journalists.
Yeah.
They come to a conclusion. They just talk as if, and they seem to be having more information than all the intelligence agencies put together.
Yeah.
And immediately after any blast, they have so much, if they had so much information, they could have arrested, they could have stopped this kind of terrorist act.
But I want to ask, Varunji saying, why
is, no, let,
does
let
the
me,
police...
Let me just finish.
Yeah.
Let me just finish. The reality is that there has been a Hindus involved, the Sikhs involved, the Muslims involved in terrorism, but as soon as a blast takes place, we only point to one community in spite of knowing that
Swaranji
said you want to
come in there.
Communities have been involved,
to start ending.
And that is the most
Shahid,
injustice
Shahid,
which
I have to start
helped terrorism
Shahid,
grow.
Shahid, Swaranji said.
Yeah.
No, I think this may have been the perception some years ago, but not anymore.
I don't
this
know.
That, that is the case till now.
Hyderabad
police took action
not only
after the courts forced it. Otherwise, they were not releasing
okay.
those
Okay,
files.
So clearly there are genuine questions. There are genuine questions around the wrongful. There are genuine questions, wrongful arrests and haste to come to conclusion. I'm going to take a question here.
Yeah, considering the seriousness of the issue of terrorism in India, why don't we establish a dedicated ministry called Ministry of Counter-Terrorism so that it will be completely focused on the issues like CCTV cameras and spreading awareness among public?
The CCTV cameras, good point. In Maharashtra, the chief minister said it took him years. No, let me just get another question.
Ma'am, we really need police reforms because our police is understaffed and the police can't do everything. Like intelligence agencies say, okay, this we have this specific intelligence. But secondly, the second point is that, you know, it's very difficult for police to also counter such things because it's not RDX or some explosive which comes from outside. It's ammonium nitrate. You can find it in any almost any gardening shop. Thirdly, ma'am,
can I just get Chandan in on that, on police reforms and of course the ammonium nitrate, why its sale has not been regulated but available in every gardening shop? But the same question to Jay, that BJP states, for example, could implement police reform, something that Kiran has said it's up to the states.
No, it's okay, but you see, there is no atmosphere for police
this
reforms.
Is the way. Okay, nahi.
Yeah. But you know, there is no atmosphere.
Karke dikhao.
What do you mean there is no atmosphere, Chandan? Karke dikhao, says Kiran. Karke dikhao.
How can just a few states in isolation, I'm repeating Jay's point, that how can they do a few things?
Jo aap Congress se maang rahe ho, aap karke dikhao.
Nahi, Congress toh kuch nahi karegi, hum toh maalum hai.
Aap karke dikhao.
Toh hum power mein aayenge toh karenge.
Nahi, aap power mein hai.
Gujarat mein karo na.
Police reforms were on the agenda from the mid-1980s.
Yes, and you have been in power most of the time. And you have not done anything.
All right. But, you know, interrupting is not going to bring your reason.
I have one or two more.
There have been 8 years continuously from 1996 to 2004, plus another 2 years between 1989 and 1991, when the Congress was not in power. So to make this a story.
Okay. I have to end. I'm going to take Mani and Chandan 1 minute. Okay. Come on.
Serious points to make.
This is what makes us wonder that if Parliament ever actually debated. Okay, I have a question. There was Sumit there who said, why doesn't Parliament hold a special session on terrorism?
Absolutely.
Why do you all not devote 1 week at least to discussing nothing else?
Would happen.
Nothing will happen. If you're feeling nothing will happen.
Hot air and no
okay, question.
Kiran ma'am, apart from giving absolute powers to the police, how can this broken back be brought back into shape?
Okay, Kiran, 1 minute, one more question.
I have a question. I'm basically from JNK and the terrorist attacks have been a victim of myself. My only question to the government of India is, finally, will the government really liberate the security and provide it to the public? Because I think that is the only solution to safeguard the public from the terror attacks.
Kiran, and then last word to Mr. Parthasarathy.
What's the question?
The question is, one, how can the police get its spine back? And of course, the second question, which maybe Mr. Parthasarathy can take on this issue of security.
You call the DGPs, they have the solutions. They have the answers. Ask them to speak up without the chief secretaries, without the home secretaries. They'll tell you exactly what is needed. Give them the power, make them accountable. And if they break the law, they make false arrests, they go to jail.
Mr. Parthasarathy, last word to you as we wrap today.
There's one thing I would like to say.
Yeah.
Why don't the DGPs speak up?
Let them speak up.
They get transferred within weeks and months. Let them get transferred.
Yes.
Let them be transferred. Well, it takes
a high time.
Let the successor speak up again and the successor.
You know why they don't speak up? Yeah.
You know why? Because you have a system where you suddenly get a guy who, from nowhere, you put him into police, which requires a totally different type of leadership. He does not have the leadership qualities.
I think Mr. Parthasarathy, what's the lesson?
The lesson is,
what needs to change?
2006 Supreme Court verdict. Huh. Get every political party to agree and implement it in every state for police reform.
Okay.
Second, not only do you need a national counterterrorism center, but there is no coordination in Delhi.
You need
what is called as a NAT grid. Yeah. Or a national intelligence
information
grid within Delhi, which has seamless transfer of information to the states. Finally, let us also bear in mind, we live in a dangerous neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's an issue we have to deal with, but that's a larger debate, which I won't get into here. But more important, get the power, you know, if you have criminalization of politics, you're not going to deal with criminals.
Well, let's
get those 162 out and amend the law.
I think
six election commissioners have been saying amend the law on electoral reform.
I have to end. One line, Chandan.
I just wanted to actually that time make the substantial point that, you know, NCTC is a good idea and it must be proceeded, but whether NCTC's control should be with the IB, which we know is a politically
directed
organization.
No, it should not be. For the simple reason.
I think the IB does not function under law.
You have the tools, you don't have the toolkit. Let's put a toolkit together because these tools are all separated.
I have to end, and I know that people like Rahim, people like Sumit, and all of us are looking towards our politicians. Jay, Manishankar Iyer, Chandan Mitra. Let this be the debate and the commitment that we see in this week in Parliament. If it's not the scheduled debate, reschedule it. Show some urgency. Otherwise, as was said here tonight, it'll be the next blast. We'll be back to square one. Deja vu and asking the same questions with nothing changing. Thanks very much for watching. Thank you. Thank you.